The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Faster Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Call 66 13 68 to get in touch. Text 166177. You can also WhatsApp us if you put 07624 before it and stick us in your contacts and email studio at manxradio.com. Whatever's on your mind, well, we'll be looking at the problems for older people on the Isle of Man, whether it's heat or eat. There's a cost of living crisis on the way. Are we dingy or rustic? And if you have any thoughts on Jane Paul Wilson, what the Justice and Home Affairs Minister had to say on Friday, then by all means, get in touch. Howard's with us, first of all. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy.
First of all, Howard, yeah. I do have to apologise because I got my 1471s and 141s mixed up on Friday.
That's all right. A man that doesn't make mistakes is doing nothing.
But, I mean, that was a very important point you raised about a phone number being traceable. Very disturbing, almost.
It was a bit more than traceable, believe me. I was mortified. I'll actually post it to you, a letter I sent into them, just so I don't put it over the radio, but I did write and I'll post it, and the reply that I got back.
Okay.
And it would make your hair curl. But what I'm looking through, and I saw it on that same day, actually Friday, it's the money that's been spent preparing the old railway track, the Ramsey railway track, is £90,000, but you can bet your bottom dollar it's closer to £100,000. That's already been spent. And they proposed originally £1 million for the cycle track, and I just thought of £1 million that went missing from the prom. Then it went up to £1.3 million, and the last quote from Tim Crookall was it's going to be about £1.7 million. This is to do a cycle track and put three bridges in. Now, that's farcical at this time when your headlines there said that people are having trouble heating, eating, and generally surviving, particularly old people. And they're talking about spending that amount of money, and you can guarantee you'll be over £2 million by the time they would have finished it. That's without the ongoing maintenance, insurance, and the subsequent health and safety for the bridges. That will be a thing that will be going on infinitum. So it's about time that DOI come down off their cloud and decided, and Tim Crookall is of the right mind, and I hope he's got the wherefore to say, I'm sorry, but it stops here. And that money they've spent, £90,000 at the moment, maybe more, well, fine, if a few cyclists want to, but if they're that energetic and walking to work, let them go down into Glenwillan, and they're going to cross Moaney Moor, and I think that place is collapsing, the bridge that used to be there, that was the old railway track, and the one that went across, as you come out of St John's, to go to Peel. They're supposed to be trusses, and they will need regular maintenance. So I think the money is not being wisely spent by the DOI to cover a very few, and I mean a few, people on cycles and walking, whereas the rest of the population are in dire straits for heating and eating and generally cost of living. So, and that was in, I hope that Tim Crookall has got the guts to do it and say, I'm sorry, but the buck stops here. When we get a bit more money in the kitty, then we can have luxuries. Because Charles Gard brought a beautiful DVD out, or CD, video rather, last week. And it showed how the island is in a dreadful state. And I've had two of our members of the family. One lives in Scotland, and it's been going round there all the time. The other girl lives in Stoke-on-Trent, and they sent it to me. So why not fix the things that we've got instead of going for expensive items like a cycle track. There's plenty of scope to cycle at the moment, and that £2 million that you'd be doing, we'd better spend on the roads and let cyclists go on the roads instead of putting a purpose-built track for them.
Okay.
And I've been on that track. I've got two cycles for myself and our great-grandson, and we do go on the cycle tracks, but they never maintain them. They were like driving cycling through barbed wire with all the brambles that were coming over the top, and then they built a couple of areas on the one to go to Peel where there's benches and everything, and just like on the promenade here, a pump and spanners and everything, and somebody's stolen all the spanners. So this is the walkers and the cyclists that the government or the cycling fraternity within the government are encouraging.
Okay, all right, point so taken.
Let's see if they get a bit of sense. Stop the job as it is now. When they get a bit more money, go and do it. But let's fix what was broken now and the place that needs it doing badly.
All right. Thanks, what Howard. We appreciate that.
Thanks, Ian.
All right.
Take care.
All right. It's 13 minutes past 12. The rising cost of living is expected to be an issue that continues to have an impact on spending into the new year for government. More than £850,000 in additional support payments has so far been made to help those on low incomes dealing with increasing energy bills. £850,000. So what more can be done? And how difficult is it to predict how global events will have an impact on the Isle of Man's economy? Well, the man with his hands on the till is Treasury Minister David Ashford.
One of the things we've got to recognise is, although the weather's been a bit variable the last few days, we are going into the warmer months, but this cost of living impact that we're seeing at the moment, and particularly the issue with energy prices, is likely to go the whole way through 22 into 23 as a bare minimum. So what we've got to do is make sure that we've also got the ability to be able to react to the winter months, because that is when people are going to struggle the most. I do have to be honest again, I say this and emphasise it in every interview, government can't cover every inflationary cost for everyone or cover everyone. We can only target where we feel it is most appropriate and where we feel the greatest impact is being felt, which is those in low incomes, those who are families, and those who may be on a fixed income due to retirement as well, which is what we've tried to do across all of the support schemes.
How difficult is it to react to certain situations at the moment? Obviously, we've seen the conflict in Ukraine, the effect that has had. How fast-paced is this situation?
It's extremely fast-paced. I mean, things have been moving over the last couple of years. We've just had a worldwide pandemic, which we are still in, actually. We're still officially in a pandemic phase, according to the World Health Organization. We were coming towards the end of that and moving out, and now we've been hit with this. So what it actually means is, as a government, we have to monitor what's going on and try and react accordingly. No government in the world can actually manage to protect everyone from inflationary pressures, but what we can do is do targeted support, trying to help those who are most in need and those who are going to struggle the most, and that's what we've tried to do through these measures.
David Ashford, MHK, the Treasury Minister. A note in from Pete, who just said, why did the government dither over granting a licence to further exploit that offshore gas deposit? If it's there, use it to benefit for the Isle of Man's people, regardless of Extinction Rebellion. Norway refuses to stop gas and oil extraction, using their income to further their green agenda, if you like. They're using that money for fossil fuels to transition to get to a sustainable future. And Pete says, why can't we do that on the Isle of Man if we have the opportunity to do that? And first of all, I mean, first thing to say is we don't know how much is there. OK, it may be full of bus tickets when we get there. But we don't know. Having said that, it's not costing anybody a penny piece apart from the investors of Kroger. They're the ones paying for it, not us. But if there is gas there, bearing in mind that other people, Ireland, other people around the world are drilling in and getting their fossil fuel deposits, heaven knows, the extremely green Germans are mining coal. So why shouldn't we? Or do you think we should take the, if you like, the hardline approach and just not do it and fund our own green future from what we have? Text, email or call on this. The state of the medic centre for the TT and yet we can't even see a GP or consultant. Are we funding this or the visitors? I think we're being let down by the government, says Marie. The state-of-art medic centre for the TT. They found the money for that. Has petrol gone up today? Is it true petrol's gone up 10p everywhere? Has it gone up everywhere? People complain about how much it is to fill a tank of fuel. Do what I do, put in £20 to £30 at a time. If you fill your tank, you get less MPG because you're dragging a dead weight. The fuel company gets less money and less profit, says Graham. So just put in £10, £20, £30 at a time. Every time you fill up, you're effectively putting a few more people in the vehicle. A note in, this is from 753. I'd like to point out that when you phone some government departments and put 141 in front of the call, they still know your number. Can we take it that's the case for all government departments? This is a point that Howard raised on Friday with the Home Affairs and Justice Minister. She didn't seem to know, neither did her chief exec, that that was the case. But Howard's got the documentation that if you put 141 in front of your number, some people can still know what your number is. Age concern. Isle of Man believes the most vulnerable people on the Isle of Man are the elderly. Community project coordinator Steve Dawson says the elderly have been impacted by the high cost of living and are now having to choose between heating and eating. The organisation's trying to assist them by offering direct access to a hardship fund set up as a one-off payment to assist in part of a payment for a utility bill.
As we're all aware, utility bills have risen dramatically recently and will no doubt have a financial burden on many people on the island, especially the older people who will struggle to pay these costs and in some cases may force them to cut down on the amount of fuel they use to cook food or heat their homes.
What is the biggest concern for the elderly people on the island at the moment?
I think basically it's the choice between heating the home and cooking food. The costs are going up. There's no two ways about it. You know, electricity and all the utility bills have gone up tremendously. And if you're used to having a gas bill of £100 a month and it's suddenly gone up to £130 and the electricity bill has gone up proportionate to its rate, all of a sudden you have to find that £20, £30, £100 a month extra, which they may not have. And that is a major concern.
Over the past few months or past few weeks, have you guys seen a number of older people coming for help?
We have had a number of people contacting us, asking us about certain things, what they can do and what have you. We've listened to how they're struggling and what have you, and that's why we've decided to open this hardship fund to older people on the Isle of Man, especially for older people over the age of 50 plus.
You mentioned some of the ways where they told you of some of the ways they were struggling. Can you give us a few examples?
Well, basically, it is the cost of fuel. The utility bills have risen quite dramatically. It's hit the island hard with gas prices, and then at the same time as electricity costs went up, and then oil costs went up. Everybody has to have some type of heating in the home. Older people need sometimes more heat, and it becomes a choice between having extra heat and little food, or more food and less heat.
How big is the pot that we have?
It's reasonable. We may not be able to pay everybody's single bill and what have you, but we could pay proportionate rates. It just depends on levels of support and what they require. Everybody is different. It may well be that with talking to us, we could actually point them into another direction, whereas they may be eligible for more benefits, for argument's sake, which they're not aware of. We are here to help older people on the island.
20 past 12, that was Steve Dawson talking about the payments that are available. Sounds like, this is Phil who just said, sounds like Howard wants the Isle of Man full of cars with people sitting in them pouring out pollution and ruining people's healths. Cyclists don't do any of that. They're looking after their health with more exercise, says Phil. Thank you, Phil. Yes, it also has to be pointed out that motorists pay road tax and VAT on their fuel and fuel duty, whereas cyclists don't. Just a point. There seems to be a lot of black and white curbs on the TT course that haven't been repainted, says Roy in Ramsey. This is normally done well before now. Trust it's going to be done in time, says Roy. A note in that just says, regarding Charles Gard's video, I don't like comparing the Isle of Man to other places, but if anybody knows Jersey, they seem to have the knack of being clean and tidy. Yes, they still have tourism. They have better weather. But we need to realise that people will only come once if the place looks shoddy. Everything on Jersey is clean, it's painted, it's modern, all the hedges and the back roads are spotless, every little village still has cafes and restaurants open. It isn't cheap to get to, but people still go to Jersey. Our government and local authorities need to step up. The best part of the Isle of Man is Ramsey. Credit to their care of Murrock Park, it looks lovely. They should look after the rest of the island's parks and gardens, says Ian. The Murrock's lovely. Has two coffee shops now, doesn't it? Remember when it didn't have any? It does look lovely. And there are those cute little exercise things as you go around the Murrock. It's a nice walk. So what's going to happen? And again, the counterpoint is Jersey is tiny compared to the Isle of Man. I mean, you can walk for half an hour and you'll be in the sea in Jersey. On the Isle of Man, it's much, much bigger. But the fact that Jersey concentrates on getting spick and span and clean and tidy, you only ever get the chance to make a first impression once. Ian's point. And a message. Do we have coal? Says Des. No, we don't have coal, Des. But when they tried to find coal, there is a seam of coal that runs from the Mull of Galloway underneath that bit of the Irish Sea. They tried to find that, do you remember? And all they found was a very concentrated brine lake underneath. That's where the Ramsey Salt Works came from 100 and more years ago. And I think it may have been Graham and Fred who were talking about the brine lake that's underneath the north of the Isle of Man and the fact that there may be hot salt water underneath there and we could possibly use that. That's another story, though. Lots of messages in today. Prices go up but rarely come down, says G. So the increased cost of living will be with us for years. Government plans to phase out gas, but where will the money come from to swap homes to alternate power in the future, says G. This is going to cost. Everything's going to cost. Whenever there's a change in life, it costs. Do you remember when we went from Cosan gas and bottled gas and they put all the new stuff in years ago, 20 odd more years ago, when all the gas stuff, that cost an absolute fortune to do. It's going to change. It could be hydrogen. Do you remember they were talking about hydrogen being the future? It may completely bypass solar and wind. Hydrogen could be the future. Well said, Howard, says Kelly. I work in on the Pull Rose new bridge area and cross it twice a day, 5 days a week. I've only ever seen one cyclist using the new 3-metre-wide cycleway. Saw a cyclist using the pavement on the opposite side from the cycleway. Nuts, says Kelly. A medic centre for the TT, what's that about? And people are having problems seeing a GP. I think we're being treated like second-class citizens. It's always been that way, especially if you phone the police. 141 doesn't work, says Dave. It's absolutely nothing new. It's all been that. Ralph said, a texter said, filling up is a false economy because you have to carry a full tank. They haven't factored the false economy of constantly refueling at pumps rather than going just once. Wishful thinking, says Ralph. The Kroger Field is an absolute no-brainer, says Texter 282. Aside from all the obvious arguments, it would actually be good for the environment. As for emissions, Ireland and the UK would generate from burning our gas. They will be far lower than any gas that had to be brought in by an LNG, natural gas tanker. Thanks to Putin, Europe needs our gas. The government should be doing everything they can to make the project happen. Our gas, if there is gas there on the Kroger field off Mackled, if there is there, we'll only ever need a fraction of what they say, what they maintain is there. So the vast majority will either be exported up the handily placed second pipe that we have up to the T connection owned by Bord Gas in Ireland. We could export that to Ireland. They wouldn't have to import from Norway. Nor would we. Any thoughts on the matter? Text 166177. Email studio@manxradio.com. The government should be doing everything they can to make this Kroger project happen, says this texter. Let's have a look here. Phil. Oh, Phil, give us a call, Phil, if you want to talk about cyclists. Let's chat on air rather than just swapping messages. It'd be nice to hear what you have to say about where cyclists fit into this. And, Phil, I wasn't having a dig at cyclists. It wasn't a dig. It was a point that somebody else made, okay? So it wasn't me. The fact that I say something somebody else has said, Phil, doesn't mean it's what I think.
Discover why visitors return time after time to the Welbeck Hotel, fabulously located near Douglas Seafront. A Welbeck voucher makes the perfect gift for all occasions, from birthdays and engagements to anniversaries and thank yous. The lucky recipient will love spending it on a delicious meal or overnight stay at the Welbeck. Why not surprise your someone special with a Welbeck voucher? Book today. Call the Welbeck on 675 663 or visit welbeckhotel.com.
This old house needed new windows. This old house needed a new door. And with DPM Conservatories, we got all that and more. Now our bills are lower and the house is warmer too. We're cleaner and we're greener since we swapped our old for new. Stunning A-plus rated replacement windows and doors, expertly fitted by DPM Conservatories. Phone 612-333 or find them on Facebook and swap your old for new.
When you need a monument for your loved ones, contact T.E. Cubbon, a trusted family-run business for over 150 years. T.E. Cubbon provide new memorial stones, grave renovations, new inscriptions and fire hearths. For quality workmanship and a professional personal service tailored to your wishes, visit us at Hope Street, Castletown, or at Broadway, Douglas. Call 844-440. T.E. Cubbon, here when you need us.
You can now fly with Loganair from the Isle of Man to London City up to 10 times a week, and London Heathrow up to 7 times a week, with 15 kilograms luggage allowance as standard and frequent flyer rewards.
Fly with me, I want to take you there, precious moments of this journey, to where homeward bound again.
Book today at loganair.co.uk.
Important complaints regulations moved a step closer in LegCo last week, but was there really a need to break convention and rush things through? The Health Minister certainly thought so. And following government's decision to extend Kroger's licence, how could we miss the opportunity for another should we, shouldn't we debate on gas extraction? That's Agenda tonight at 6pm with me, Phil Gorn, the programme also available as a podcast. Laurie Hooper on proper complaints procedures for health, taking a lunge closer to implementation, and Stu Peters and Paul Crane fighting over gas, an agenda not to be missed.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And it's 29 minutes past 12. A note in from Alison, who just says, government are throwing money away. There'll be a lot of people getting these payments that don't need it. Not enough scrutiny on the people getting benefits. Vouchers should have been given, not cash for energy payments. There's no way the cash is being spent on energy by all of those on Social Security, says Hunter. And Minister Ashford's wrong. He can't help everyone, says this correspondent, as the supplier of gas on the Isle of Man, as they control the supply. They should resell it at a lower price, which would lower the cost to the consumer, benefiting everyone. There would need to be an increase in tax or special tax to cover this, but will protect those on low incomes and small businesses. All the best from Roger. And also, as an ex-Peel Town Commissioner, we asked if they could pump only on the outgoing tide. This is regarding the sewage. But they said they couldn't, as they didn't have the capacity to hold it for that long and released on a float system, i.e. when it is full. Lots of messages in over the past few weeks about what's happening on the sewage system and whether or not Laxey and Peel will be in this position and how long it's going to be for. Brenda said, the lady from Manx Gas a few months ago talked about hydrogen boilers. When will they be available? Actually, we'll find out more from the people that make them shortly. Phil's with us now. Hi, Phil.
How are you doing? All right.
Hi, Phil. So what was the point about cyclists you want to make?
Yeah, well, I'm fed up with the half dozen or so banging on about anti-cycling all the time. I've cycled on the Isle of Man for over 20 years. My point to you when I said to you about not paying road tax, you know, there are, you know, most cyclists have a vehicle as well, so they're paying road tax. So I don't think that's fair. And also, these cycle lanes, I think they're just a safer way for cyclists to travel. I mean, Pullrose is wide, but I spoke to a surveyor and he said that's the minimum width for a two-way cycle lane. So it seems wide, but that's just, you know, just to protect the cyclists, to keep them off the road.
How do you find the cycle lanes on the Peel Road, Phil?
Pardon?
How do you find the cycle lanes? I mean, do you think they're adequate for cyclists, including the one that goes up on the pavement?
Do you mean the one runs down past McDonald's and all that?
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I use it. I mean, it's interesting when you watch the cars, they actually stay out of it, which is good, apart from when people are queuing up to go into McDonald's, of course. But, you know, it's ideally, personally, I thought it would have been on the pavement would be better. Away from the traffic is the best for cyclists, really, so you're not having cars brushing down the side of you. And also, just to speak on behalf of cycling again, the amount of cars on the Isle of Man is ridiculous. It's just like a car park. I call it Isle of Man car park. Everywhere you go, it's just jammed with cars. So what's the future if we just keep promoting cars instead of, you know, getting people on active travel, as they call it, and on their bicycles and on safe routes? You know, you just can't keep promoting the car all the time.
So what do you think the future is? I mean, do you think we should have better public transport to get cars off the road?
Yeah, I'm all for that, yeah. I'll probably get shot down for this, but I'm for the free public transport, yeah. It's just there's too many cars. I mean, you know, where I live, it's just roads stuffed with cars, you know, and half the time they're illegally parked at night because there's no traffic wardens out and they all make use of, you know, so it's just jamming the cars up the roads. You know, I live in central Douglas and it's just wall-to-wall cars everywhere you look, parked on junctions. Nobody seems to do anything about that.
Okay. So what would you say, Phil, to a non-cyclist? How would you, as a cyclist, how do you cope with bad weather? What do you do?
The right clothing in the right place, if you can, you know. So it's just a couple of, you know, waterproofs. To be honest, you know, a dedicated cyclist, you kind of get used to getting a bit damp, but just to have the right gear.
It's interesting. You can go to some places in the world where cycling's a complete way of life. I'm thinking particularly of Amsterdam, where the cyclist is king in the centre of Amsterdam. They have priority over vehicles, and that becomes a way of life. Are we anywhere near that on the Isle of Man?
Unfortunately not, I don't think so. And I think the hills work against us. You know, most people don't like sort of going up hills, although it is still good for your health. The electric bikes are really bringing cycling on a treat because, you know, people get a bit of extra help going up the hills with them. So I mean, you know, Mark Cavendish said years ago, didn't he, training on the Isle of Man was great with the hills and stuff. But, I mean, most people don't like struggling up the hills. Yeah. So,
okay. No, I appreciate that. Thanks, Phil.
Okay, thank you.
Good to talk to you. It's 25-1 on Manx Radio. I'm a cyclist, says this WhatsApper. I still pay road tax and fuel because I've got a van as well. So I do pay tax, just not for the cycling. Well, despite opposition from some quarters about the Manx government extending the gas exploration licence for Kroger, there could be a kind of halfway house where natural gas is still used but blended with hydrogen. Now, a leading manufacturer of gas boilers believes this could be the way forward. Martin Bridges, he's the technical director of Worcester Bosch Boilers, based in the UK, and he spoke to Barry Redfern.
Ultimately, pure 100% hydrogen will get us zero carbon emissions. Initially, though, the government is looking at blending up to 20% hydrogen with the current methane or natural gas that we use. Now, that is a great start, and you can use all the existing appliances as well, so no changes need to happen to the products which are installed in people's homes. But it's not ambitious enough for the government. Ideally, they want zero carbon, and this would 20% hydrogen would reduce the emissions by about 7 or 8%. From 2026, only hydrogen-ready boilers can be placed onto the market. So in the UK, there's around 1.7 million boilers that are changed annually. And if you can only buy a hydrogen-ready boiler, that's a boiler that can run on natural gas or even this 20% blend of hydrogen and natural gas initially. And when 100% hydrogen comes along, the boiler can be converted to run on that. So after like 10 years of selling those only those types of boilers, we'd have 17 million homes ready for hydrogen. And again, it's cost the government nothing.
Would you then say that hydrogen is the way to go?
Yes, we would, particularly for existing homes. The alternative to natural gas or oil is really an electric-based heating system. Probably an electric heat pump is what the government are supporting at the moment. And to do that, it has some differences. It's a great technology, but you are likely to have to change your radiators if you've got a boiler presently heating your home. The boilers run at higher temperatures than a heat pump, so it's possible that the radiators won't be big enough to be run at a lower temperature.
So basically it's a thing for new builds rather than retrofitting.
Yes, a brand new system or a new build, they would be perfect for. It's more difficult to do them in retrofit. It's not impossible, but it's more expensive and more disruptive and more difficult.
Just some more information for the future. That's Martin Bridges, Technical Director of Worcester Bosch, the big boiler company based, I think, in Worcester. I think so. 22 minutes before one. Just a point of interest, says this correspondent, latest gas bills have a credit for the rebate on them. So I hope Age Concern Isle of Man take this into account, as the bills will appear lower than their true amount. Keith just said also, yeah, 95% of adult cyclists pay road fund licence. They are car owners as well. I've seen quite a few using the cycle lane when I passed it, says Dave. This is the new cycle lane on Paul Rose Bridge. I've seen men painting the curb in Ramsey for TT, but still leaving grass on the pathways. Looks a bit of a mess. And a message in, says Dave, I love my car, but I'm with Phil on the roads getting jammed. It is ridiculous. So where do we go? What do we do if the roads are going to get full? If the, as the government wants, if the population of the Isle of Man is to increase, then what do we do? If those people, the extra people who come to the Isle of Man as the population grows, if they want vehicles, what happens? Well, they'll be provided, of course. The system will provide people with vehicles. They'll want to buy them. More and more vehicles. More and more pollution. More and more congestion. Shore Road down south, says Mark, has a purpose-built cycle lane, but very few cyclists use it. It's a waste of taxpayers' money. So what was the point? Sorry, it wasn't Mark, it was Mary. I'm sorry about that. What a mess on Paul Rose Bridge, says Les. Why did they fill in the bus stop on the Bowl side? There was a tours coach parked there on Saturday with no driver in it. Cars had to go round it. Then the car coming over the hill had to slam on the brakes to avoid overtaking cars. Put back the bus stops. Put the bus stop back where it was, says Les. Regarding discussions on the green agenda, says Dave in Onken, is the government going to use the money they make from running pointless mega-polluting motorsport events to pay for the green agenda? Is that the TT? They're causing problems, and once again, the taxpayer has to foot the bill. It's hypocrisy. Yes, I would be more than happy to see the TT scrapped, says Dave in Onken. Thank you, Dave. Would you say that on Glen Crutchery Road in 3 weeks' time? All the best to you. Thanks for getting in touch. And here's a note, Tim, that just says, Amsterdam Centre is set up for cyclists to be the main traffic. The Isle of Man is not and probably never can be, says H. But was Amsterdam Centre always set up for cyclists to be the main traffic? At some point, somebody in the Dutch government would have decided that was the way to go. Obviously, Holland's a lot different to the Isle of Man, because we have more hills. We probably have more hills in our island than the whole of Holland has.
Are you worried about what inflation is doing to your savings? Chase Wealth Solutions are holding seminars across the island, talking about the current economic climate, offering guidance on how to navigate it, and how a well-known and widely diversified investment solution may help during these difficult times. We're in Port Erin, Ramsey and Douglas on Thursday the 19th, and Peel on Friday the 20th of May. To find out more, visit chasewealth.im. Chase Financial Services, trading as Chase Wealth Solutions, is regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
We're simply the best, better than all the rest. It's true. At Motormall's Mega May Dealathon, we simply refuse to be beaten. We'll better any like-for-like deal on Ireland for any of our nearly 20 brands of new and used cars and motorcycles. With offers like these, why would you go anywhere else? Up to £3,000 off selected new and used cars. Up to £2,500 free finance deposit contribution. Minimum £500 bonus trade-in allowance, 0% finance on selected cars. And all with the best deal guaranteed. Motormall's Mega May Dealathon. On now at Cool Road, Braddon. We're simply the best.
Escape the TT to Denmark Direct. Two-centre holiday in Copenhagen and Sønderborg, departing 2nd of June for 5 nights. Exclusive to Richmond Travel and Man Link Travel. Call for full details. Seats are selling quickly. Book today.
The world's greatest sporting event takes place this summer. It's the RNLI All-Ireland Beach Tug of War. This Sunday from 2:30 at Chapel Beach, Port St Mary, see 16 teams of finely honed warriors and warrioresses do battle. With food and drink, face painting, bouncy castle, competitions and more. An amazing day out for all. Search RNLI Tug of War now for details. Supported by Island Aggregates and your nation station, Manx Radio.
All this week on 1 to 3, we're looking after our mental health. We'll be hearing from Charity of the Week, Our Listen. We'll get some tips on how physical health can boost and support our mood. We'll even take a look at our financial health in the first of our new series, Money Talks. And we'll have plenty of feel-good tunes to bring a bit of brightness to the day. 1 to 3 with Christy D. Looking after our mental health. Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Faster my 17 minutes before one. Les is with us now. Hi, Les.
Hi, Andy. When are we going to get somebody in government that will know exactly what they're doing? I mean, that Pool Rose Bridge, I had to slam on, which is ridiculous. The bus used to be tucked in. There was a little bus lane. People could go past. But now they put, it's like an afterthought. They put a couple of dotted lines so that people can go around it. But the coach was actually parked with no driver in. And I had to slam up because a car came around the coach.
And what time? This was Saturday, you say?
Yeah, it was Saturday. The football was at the bowl, so it was close to finishing the football. And it shouldn't be happening. I mean, when are they going to think properly and get things done right first time instead of so many mistakes? I mean, the bus lane up at the grandstand, what a complete balls up that was, really.
I mean, somebody got paid good money to design these things, so where do you think the fault lies?
They should have somebody that knows what they're doing. For a start, instead of listening to people in the government offices, oh, that's a good idea, and then they do it, and then it's not right. Wasting money left, right, and centre. I mean, that bus lane was to try and get the buses to move quickly, and the first one went down, no problem, but the second one was stuck in Onken because if we were all on a single lane traffic. It just doesn't work. They've got to think of the bigger picture instead of just making it look as though they're doing something, which is usually wrong.
So what should happen on Pool Rose Bridge now, Les?
They should put the bus back in where it was. I mean, they filled that out so that it's a single lane. They've got a couple of little lines to make it look as though you can go round. But as soon as you start going round and somebody comes over, you're going to have a crash. Simple as that. Put it back in, tucked in where it was. I know why they put it where it is so that the bus can keep on going. You know, once it's got its passengers on, it can move off. But we all give way to buses, don't we?
Well, here's hoping, Les.
Yeah, get somebody that knows what they're doing.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, it's 14 minutes to one on Meg's Radio. Lots of messages in. Listening to Phil talking about cycling, that's fine, but if you are disabled, if you have a disability, your car's essential. We can't ride bicycles. Something has to be out there for us to use. And disabled people also have the problem of food shopping. A note in from Pat just says, cyclists should be made to pay road tax and insurance. Cyclists do and have caused damages and accidents. Why should motorists pay for dedicated cycleways that are rarely used? Pat, I would say that's because that's the future that we're being presented with. That is the way. Active travel was a central point of government policy in that people should be encouraged to travel actively, to use cycles, to walk where possible. Perhaps they think that people have lost the habit of walking. I don't know whether you, or if you live within a couple of miles of where you work, when was the last time you walked to work? Would you always drive if it was more than a couple of hundred yards, half a mile, 2 miles? Years ago, people used to walk to work and cycle to work all the time. Times have changed. People are more affluent. People have more disposable income. But do you think, just as happened in Amsterdam, where they suddenly made the cycle the main form of transport, that that's possibly what should happen in the future? This future is coming our way, whether or not we want it. Some people do want it, other people don't. But you have to have your say about it. When are the police going to stop cyclists riding on pavement? They're a danger to people walking, says John. And if you go down Strand Street in Douglas, most days there are people cycling up and down Strand Street, which is technically against the law. There's a bylaw to say you shouldn't cycle on Strand Street, but still people do cycle. They do on Parliament Street in Ramsey. Who's policing it? The new first aid post at the grandstand is fantastic, says Barry. It was a St John ambulance post in the past. The amount of people that we've treated in the old unit from falls and cardiac arrest, it saves lots of people clogging up A&E. It was run by St John Ambulance volunteers and is where a lot of people gather in TT Fortnight. David's with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, and he's changing it slightly. It's to do with the Board of Education and the department or the minister saying that they're going to have, because of the wage negotiations and the disputes, they're going to have a waiting allowance for the Isle of Man, like they have in London and other places like that.
Yeah.
So it flags up to me, you set off the rocket, don't you? So if they're going to do it for one, they're going to have to do it for another. They're going to have to do it for nurses. They're going to have to do it for anybody that lives in the Isle of Man and says, well, we're in the same boat. Why can't we have it? So inflation is, well, it's probably going to end up at 6, isn't it? Well, that's where they are at the minute for negotiation purposes anyway.
Isn't it funny that over the past few years we've had no inflation? People got sick and tired of hearing 0% inflation, and everybody who had savings was moaning about the fact there wasn't inflation and the interest rate was low. But, of course, there's a whole generation of people who've never known higher interest rates, David.
That's right. I remember one time when the rate went up to 15% with banks. And that worries the sort of people. But my concern is, I just wonder whether this is a concerted effort coming from Treasury instead of the Education Department. Do you know what I mean? Treasury's got to pick up the tab. Treasury's got to put out the to claw all the money back. So where did this start? Was it something they've done themselves? Are they going to have to try and fund it within their department? So if health does it, is that going to be the same? If the workers, the ordinary workers that dig up the roads and do all the other bits in the airport and whatever, are they going to have to do the same?
I mean, so, do you think this is the kind of the overarching thing, is that basically a Manx wage on top of what will be normally paid? I mean, in essence, is that a good idea or a bad idea?
Well, it would be if and I'll put the words out there, if we could afford it. That wouldn't rock the boat further down the line. And everybody says, and all the politicians say, we have to earn it before we can spend it. And quite right, Howard was on about, I thought the bridges at Glenwillan and St. John's had been stopped.
I think they're certainly on hold.
Well, you should be pulling the plug on them, because those things are, I don't know, and I'm not going to get in trouble with Phil because I don't cycle, is we need to be reasonable in the Isle of Man. There's a lot of things to do if you are a cyclist, if you're a walker, if you do sport and whatever, and we need to concentrate on the things we're good at doing, because we haven't even got the scoreboard yet, have we?
No, actually. And I don't even know. I don't think that's gone through planning yet.
Well, maybe, because it's a government department, they're going to pull a stunt that they don't have to. It's a special thing, but everybody else would have to do it if they were doing it, or they were going to put a tent up somewhere.
Well, we'll certainly keep an eye on this kind of Manx waiting thing, and just as, because it seems like that's been waved through for teachers now.
Well, I don't know how that's done. That's what I'm throwing out there to find out from people, or the Treasury guy, if you get out the Treasury guy, was he in favour of it? And is that then for everybody? If we're in the same boat and we're all rowing in the same direction, that's fine, but who's going to pay for it?
Okay, all right, thanks, David.
Bye.
I appreciate that. I saw a cyclist in the McDonald's lane yesterday, says John. That's a weird system there where the cycle lane goes onto the pavement by McDonald's. A cyclist shouldn't be on pavements, not safe for pedestrians, says that correspondent, 149. Here's a message in that just says, your caller Phil's probably correct when he says cycling on the pavement is safer for the cyclists. Apart from being against the law, it's not good for pedestrians with prams having cyclists flying around, says Ray. Well, we're all going to have to live together at some point, Ray, so it would be nice to know what the legality is on that, whether cyclists are allowed to cycle on pavements. And then it depends on the pavement. There are some very small pavements. Some of those pavements on Peel Road are massive. You can get a bus on some of those pavements. Whenever I've visited the Isle of Man, I've always found it to be a very clean and tidy compared to the UK, where there's litter all over the place. Alan in Stafford. Thanks, Alan. Hope to see you again soon on the Isle of Man. And that's true. If you've been to the UK recently, crikey, it's filthy. It's absolutely full of litter. I suppose it's what you're used to over here. We're used to high standards and litter-free streets, so litter tends to stick out. Lots and lots of messages, and maybe traffic should be banned from town centres, apart from disabled and bicycles made available, says Sue. And another Sue said, what's the situation regarding the horse trams? Oh, the horse trams. After uncertainty in recent times, much uncertainty in recent times, is there still a chance of the trams returning to Douglas this summer? Well, perhaps they are going to turn up this summer. According to Tim Crookall, MHK, the minister, his view?
Yes, I'm a lot more confident now. We had a meeting on site on Friday morning with the contractors and with the officers from the department, and it looks like hopefully within the next week or two, at the most, we'll have the points sorted out. And then as we get into TT, hopefully the contractors will finish off or do some of the roadworks and then finish that off after TT. And then hopefully by the end of July, and that's the very latest I will leave it, hopefully by the end of July, ready for the Transport Festival, the tram lines will be done and we will have horse trams running on that for the next 10 to 12 weeks, which will take us to the end of October into early November.
Any chance they won't be done by the end of July?
There is a chance they won't be done, yeah, and that's why I'm not 100% positive that it's going to happen, but I'm a lot more positive now than I was this time last week, if you like. But there's still some ifs and buts, but I'll say, if it looks like after running into TT that it's not going to happen, then I will call time on it for this year.
Tim Crookall, MHK, a lot more hopeful, feels a lot better about it. Well, let's see exactly what happens. Later on this week on Man in Line, we're going to be talking about that video that Charles Gard made and other things about how the Isle of Man looks. Andrew Bentley from the Green Party, one of the councillors from Douglas, are going to be on the show. We'll also be hearing from the activist Michael Josom. Unfortunately, Charles Gard can't make it, although we will hear more from that video. So that's Thursday. Andrew Bentley and Michael Josom will be on. And Alex Allenson, Department for Enterprise, the Minister for the Department of Enterprise, is going to be on next Monday the 16th. And then a week on Thursday, we're going to be live from Ramsey Pier. So this coming Thursday, Michael Josom and Andrew Bentley on the Isle of Man. Alex Allenson is on a week today. from the Department of Enterprise. Where's all the new money coming from, the new businesses? And then a week on Thursday, live from Ramsey Pier, to see what's happening in the north of the Isle of Man. That's it. Thanks to Barry Redfern producing today. A message in from Howard, who says apparently they're getting the horses ready already for the horse trends. Let's hope they can sort those points out by Castle Myrna Avenue then. Let's just spot on, says Tony. Put the bus stop back into the lay-by. Why on earth was it moved to block the lane of traffic? Nonsense from people who claim that paying tax on another vehicle counts for cycling, says Alan. Can I pay just once for my car, van and two motorcycles? By the way, I don't think cyclists should pay tax, but already paying on a different vehicle isn't a reason. That's it for Man in Line. Back with another open line tomorrow at high noon. In the meantime, enjoy the rest of your Monday.
WINT